that just lifted us to the presence of the Lord. And how about that Carrie Job number and the special performance of the band and Amy's amazing dance and Michael's spoken word and the three testimonies that we heard. It was just a tremendous time. But Easter is, in fact, such a high. I mean, it is a high point in the calendar. It's a holy day, holiday that everyone rallies to. The redeemed and even the unredeemed are affected by it. It affects just how we measure time and our calendar. And so it is high, and it should be, because truly, as Jesus declared on the cross, it's finished. It is finished. And so the job of redemption is done. It's complete. He did all the work to purchase salvation for whosoever will. And he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of holiness on the third day, and he's alive forevermore. And we are glad. So there was a lot of drama culminating around this event and around this weekend, starting with Good Friday and then culminating in resurrection. Just a lot of drama, but of course it resulted in victory and celebration. So it's almost as if after Easter comes and after it passes, it's almost like, whew, man, were we not on the mountain? It's like, wow, what a summit experience. What a powerful height he took us to. And 1 week out, here we are from that celebration. And of course, looking back at the weekend, Friday was a little heavy as people universally reflect on the cross and what that meant. But again, he was raised, he was vindicated in power and lives forever and holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. But again, here we are a week out from all of that. So the question to pose, that sure was fun. Wow, that was certainly a high. What now? That was great. That was a pinnacle. What now? We've been to the mountaintop of resurrection, and what a high it was, but where to from here? Now, on this side of his death and resurrection, on this side of Easter, what to do? It was so amazing. Again, even as culture, whether they intend to or not, culture does stop and culture pauses to consider this holy day. What do we do now? We walk it out. We walk it out in and by grace. Easter was glorious 2,000 years ago. It's still glorious every year. Don't you love it? From the grave he arose. And then people are dressed, and someone came in wearing a flower and said, my mother taught me to dress on this occasion. Families go out to eat, and there's just something in the air, is it not? It's just like Christmas. I mean, it's hard to be an Ebenezer Scrooge that time of year. I mean, there's magic in the air. And it's somewhat the same with Easter, as everyone seems to celebrate something happened in the flowers are budding, the dogwoods, the azaleas. Now we're dealing with pollen. That came with the curse. That wasn't in the original garden, of course. Adam and Eve were not sneezing. They were not on Zyrtec, as their descendants are. But at any rate, just everything is coming. I mean, even nature just speaks and sings of resurrection. So it's a happy time. But it is a high. And it is a climax. And it's like, well, what do you do after those mountaintop experiences? I know when there's historically been moves of God where whole communities of people have been taken to the summit, then it's almost like, where in the world do you go from there? After we've been in that rarefied air, where in the world do you go? But see, we have the record of Scripture that we don't demise. He only takes us onward. But what we do is we walk it out. We walk it out. What all his death and resurrection legally and spiritually purchased for us, we now walk it out. The ground that was gained by Easter, we keep it and we walk in it. It was not a high 2,000 years ago, then the disciples sunk into post-Easter blues. You know, it's not, you know, because they were having a heavy moment on Friday. I mean, they didn't know what was going on, and everyone was scattered. You know, Peter couldn't stand before the servant girl and all, you know the story. But when he began by his convincing proofs to show himself, they were not like, well, he's up from the dead. He proved himself to be to be the Messiah, you know, so I guess that's that. No, it merely started in that moment. It wasn't the end of anything. It was merely the beginning of their lives in the Lord in a powerful way, and their ministries, certainly for the church. It was merely the teeing up of what was to come. That's when everything began for them. That's when the church began, 50 days later. That's when the 1, the 3, the 12, the 120 began to take the gospel far and wide with great authority, boldness, and backing by the Holy Spirit. So post-Easter, what did they do? They walked it out, and they lived in it, and they moved in it. So instead of it being a one-time event, they carried it with them, preached it, experienced it, lived it again. It's not an end, but a beginning. That's why I think, what really happens the day after Christmas? How are our spirits? How are our spirits the day after Easter? Is resurrection there on Monday morning when we get up? Getting ready to go into graduation season here, mid-May, end of May, and we're thrilled. We've got three college students that are going to be graduating. We're thrilled about that. Michael and Miles and Tyler are going to be graduating on the college level. We've got those that are graduating on the high school level. But come mid-May and the end of May, there will be the commencement addresses that will begin, and it's almost predictable that somewhere someone will say commencement is not the what? It's not the end of anything, but it's merely the what? Merely the beginning. So in other words, what they're saying is now with that piece of paper in your hand, now you walk it out. Now you begin your venture. Now you live it. What you gained, you take into the next season of life as it was mere preparation. And so it's great when you get it, and it's a watershed moment, but what if we just stop there on that day? I mean, Michael, where is it going to be held? Is it going to be out at Carter Finley, or is it going to be inside? Is it the PNC Arena? So what if upon marching, and you'll probably stand up by class, you won't get your name called out like in high school, but what if, you know, you stand up by your school, you know, and of course the real degree is really not in your hand. You get that later, you get a little rolled up piece of paper. But what if in that moment you were on such a high, you're like, this is just amazing. The hard work, everything, it culminated in this moment. This is just amazing. Your friends and family are there, high five. Man, you did it. You the man, you know, and it's a great time. And say you go and you eat with your family, then you come back into the PNC Arena and you just sit there and you just bask in it. And this is just amazing. Hour goes by, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. This was an amazing moment. Then Monday morning, and there you are just sitting there. That was just amazing. What a high. What a pinnacle. Man, we went, whew, did you feel that? I felt that. Man, wasn't that amazing? That was just absolutely amazing. You know, then Tuesday rolls around. This was incredible. This was just amazing. Did you see me when I stood up? Did you see that? They called my college. I flat got up, man, my pearly whites, ear to ear. That was a moment. 4 years, man. I didn't party like the rest. I had my nose to the grindstone. I earned that thing. What a moment. This was, and crickets, amen? In other words, it's great. But again, it's not just mere rhetoric to say that it's not the end. It's like now you have your marching papers. Now you have your letters of authority. Now go live life. Now go do the stuff that those papers entitle you to. Amen to that. And so it was merely preparation for another round of living, except on a different plane and a different playing field. Easter has afforded us that, walking it out. The disciples, because it was an incredible weekend, the disciples had 50 days of reprieve, as it were, 50 days of catching their breath after all the drama. And can you imagine the emotional roller coaster from Friday all the way to Sunday morning, from thinking it's over, it's done, you know, it's not real. They could, you know, the one that we thought was God, he can't even resist the Roman soldiers. It's over, I suppose it's done. Going from that low to actually running to the tomb and seeing he really is not there. and then having his appearance over many days, confirming that he had been raised, when he said, look, stretch forth your hand, put it in my side, you know, and he began to give convincing proofs of his resurrection. But I mean, what an emotional spectrum that they went from one side, one end to the other. But during the 50 days following, Jesus would appear to them, encouraging them, still teaching them, giving instruction. But the heavy lifting was done through the cross. The heavy lifting had already been done. This week, I was listening to a news commentator, and they were just talking about all the harassment and the persecution that Christians are enduring around the globe. And they were bringing up ISIS and everything that has just been so in the face of Christian culture around the world, and those that have been beheaded. And this one news commentator was asking the question, where are the voices that are pushing back? And where are the Christian voices that would stand up and cry, hey, foul, you know, this is wrong. I mean, we're being heaped on right now. Where are the voices? And I didn't know this commentator was even a believer, but she made this particular comment I thought to be interesting. She said, What are you holding back for? What are you waiting on? And she said, the big thing for us is already taken care of. That's eternity with God. We know we're going to be with God forever. So the big thing is already covered. Therefore, go ahead and take a stand, regardless of what people think. Go ahead and go on the record. I like that. The big thing has already been settled, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. In other words, if you know where you're going and you know that your eternity is secure and you know that no one can snatch you out of his hand and that produces an unusual confidence and security, then what is there to lose? Go ahead and be bold. Go ahead and take your stand. Go ahead and let your voice be heard. And so the heavy lifting is done. Now what? Now we walk in him. Now we walk in him. Colossians 2, 6 reads this way, as Paul wrote to the church of Colossae. He said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, do what? So walk in him. It's just like, even as you received that diploma, now go do what that diploma authorizes you to do. Revel in the moment, celebrate the moment, woohoo! But now get busy living. Now get busy doing. And so even as you've received the Lord, I mean, that'd be like going down front to a Billy Graham crusade. That dates my generation. But at any rate, you know, or just going up front to any salvation opportunity and you respond. You're like, I'm ready to turn my heart over to the Lord, ready to go for God. And they pray with you and you're at that altar. Then everybody leaves, but you're still at the altar. Then the next day comes, but you're still at, yes, we celebrate that. We celebrate the joy of that. But just as you've received him, now go on and walk in him. Walk him. The Living Bible paraphrase says, and now just as you have trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. See, Easter's come, Easter's gone. Whoo, what a high. What now? Walk in him. Ooh, I've been to the mountain. Where's there to go now? Walk it out. Colossians 2, 6 in the Message translation. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. The NIV says, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Also, John said it this way in 1 John 2:28, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. I can remember, y'all have heard me talk about being a part back in the 90s of this move of God and going down to experience it in Pensacola. And some of the key players, because it went for about 5 years, almost upwards of 5 million people came from all over the world. But some of those principal players, after it had run its course, it was almost again like, what now? What next? And they weren't on that high that they were for 5 years. First of all, humanly speaking, you can't live on highs all the time. Our flesh would come undone. That's why we'll need a glorified body in heaven. You get around Christ. If we were just around Christ, you know, in his glorified form, and we were to get near to him, we would just, you know, we would just, the bolts and springs would just start coming undone. I mean, it's like we can barely handle a little glimpse, and we're all over the floor just flopping like a fish. You know, we can barely take it. You know, that's why we'll need a glorified body, so we won't explode. But, you know, what do you do when you've been to the pinnacle like that? What you do is you come down, you get up, and you seek God afresh the next day. God, where are you? God, what are you saying? God, what would you have me do today? And you just do like the hardworking farmer who's out under the sun. And it says the hardworking farmer is the first to receive his share of the crops. In other words, you just do the stuff in the routineness of life. As you've received him, continue in him. See, the heavy lifting is done. Now walk in him. Now walk with him daily, one day at a time. There was a preacher once who was recounting, he was walking through town, and another minister saw him across the street. He's like, hey, so-and-so. He said, hey. He said, how goes the battle? He said, oh, the battle's been won 2,000 years ago. D-Day. I'm just enjoying walking in the fruit of the victory of that one battle. See, the heavy lifting's been done. Just like that news commentator, the big issue's already taken care of. Our salvation is purchased. We're going to be with God forever. So it's almost like, what's there to fear? Now we walk in him. Now we walk with him. I love the word abide that certain translations highlight. Abide. There's a sense of intimacy. There's a sense of communion in that word. We can abide whether we're worshiping in church, whether we're washing the dishes, whether we're driving the car, cutting the grass, working on a project, studying the word, cooking a meal. How many of you know it's possible to abide in Christ? Cooking a meal. I mean, it is possible to multitask in God. It is possible to abide cleaning the house. You see, abiding is a position of heart based on relationship. Abide means to remain stable or fixed in a state, to continue in a place. We practice the presence of God wherever we are and whatever we're doing. It's a posture of heart. Abiding. I was abiding in God yesterday, cutting my grass. I was abiding in the Lord, and I was blowing all the whatever leftover leaves were there, and then all that nasty pollen. You know, I was abiding. I had a smile in my heart. My mind and my heart were on the Lord. I'm in him. He's in me. It's a concentration, and it's a conscious focus that we can achieve in the daily grind of life, just in everyday practicalities. Walking in God is the concept of abiding. Walking with God is more the idea of obeying him and following him and step with him. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Moses walked with God. David walked with God. On the concept of abiding, one of the best books, which is a Christian classic, by a French monk, a 17th century French monk by the name of Brother Lawrence, is called Practicing the Presence of God, or The Practice of the Presence of God. And it was a collection of his letters and conversations and thoughts revealing what he had learned and his development of the awareness of the presence of God moment by moment. He was basically a humble cook who spent most of his time in the kitchen peeling potatoes. Yet he comes out with this magnum opus, practicing the presence of God. How in the heck do you go from peeling potatoes to crafting this treatise that knows no time? It's a classic. It's been passed down hundreds of years later. How does that, the point being is that you can be in a kitchen, you don't have to be in a cathedral, and you can have God this side of Easter. He was abiding, loved that. He was a humble man, but he walked with God. In John 15, we weave in and out of walking in God and walking with God. And this word abide pops up no less than 10 times in the first 10 verses of chapter 15, but we can even back up to chapter 14 here. It says, I will ask the Father, Jesus is declaring to his disciples, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he what? Abides with you and will be in you. Then we go into chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We live in him. We walk with him. Easter provides this. Easter provides this. Walking in God, again, along that concept, I recommend Brother Lawrence's book, Practicing the Presence of God. Walking with God, I recommend Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship. Neither are a sprint. Walking in God is the concept of abiding. Walking with God, it's obeying him and following him where he takes us. Neither are a sprint, but both are a marathon. Both are a marathon. On Easter, it's mountaintop. Woohoo! But then comes Monday, then comes the week after. What to do? Going to stay with him. He's going to stay with me. Then what about next month when there's no lilies and the azaleas aren't going to bloom? Going to stay with him. He's going to stay with me. I'm going to abide in him. And you know what? He's going to abide in me. I'm going to hang with him. He's going to hang with me. And he's going to do it forever. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a marinating. Jesus' death and resurrection gives us the ability to be in this thing for the long haul, starting well, but finishing well. We will have a burning heart now. We will have a burning heart 20 years, 30 years, 50 years from now. I mentioned to y'all on Palm Sunday, I've never been mindful of the Christian calendar. Like Palm Sunday, it's not like, you know, 6 months out, Palm Sunday's coming up. Or either really that way about Easter. Because, again, for the person who has a hot heart for God, what do you do any differently? You get up, you go after God. You get up the next day, what do? You go after God. Then what do you do after that? The next day, you get up, you go after God. You're in that routine of abiding, looking, reaching. And he's doing the same to us. We will walk in him. We will walk with him. Because see, a mere fad has no power to take anyone the distance. Just read Mark 4 in the parable of the sower. A mere preference has no staying power to take anyone the distance. Easter, though, has allowed us to stay the course, logging decades and decades in God. Abiding, listening to Him, being with Him, doing what He says. When you have your mountaintop, what do you do next? You walk it out. When you have your pinnacle moment, what do you do next? You walk it out. And you do what the thing has purchased you. In the first church, they were told, Jesus said, go on up into Galilee, which they did. Then He told them to hold up in Jerusalem and wait as they would gather together in the upper room. 50 days later, an explosion goes off. The Holy Spirit is poured out and the church is born. Then through abiding, one day at a time, He, Jesus, would tell them what to do. He has this mighty resurrection from the dead. What a moment. Yoo-hoo! Easter lilies, everyone goes out to lunch. Woo! What a moment. Wow. Then 50 days of catching their breath, waiting, gathering, being prayerful. He appears to them. Then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days post-Easter, another explosion. Spirit of God is poured out. Incredible. From then on out, all they did was get up every day and say, God, what are you saying today? There was no book that told them what to do. Man, the Holy Ghost fell in power. All the Jews were gathered in Jerusalem. It was amazing. Again, high five, what I'm talking about. Man, did I get filled. You know, man, you were drunk last night. No, you were drunk. You were all over the sea. You should have seen you. You know, and all those words coming up out of your mouth. You should have seen you. We had to pile you in the car. You know, I mean, just a moment on the mountaintop. It's like, woo, dear me. But in the scripture, we see that they were multiple fillings for the simple reason that we leak. You know, and so what are they going to do one day after Pentecost? Man, that was something, wasn't it? No, they're going to get up. They're going to look for the Lord while the Lord's looking for them. They're going to abide in God. God's abiding in them. There's no playbook. They're going to listen. What does God say to do next? What does He want? Again, no map, but by walking in God and walking with God, things would just happen. Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. And then there's the crippled man begging, asking for money. And in the moment, there was no playbook, but just abiding in the moment, Peter says, look upon me. Silver and gold, I have none, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up. It's a great day. They're just abiding. They didn't plan on that this morning. They didn't say, all right, today we're going to go up to pray. I'm sure there'll be some sick folk there. Let's see. Hopefully they'll ask for money because I've got this zinger I've been working on. You know, it's really going to work. They were just in the Lord. The Lord was in them. They lived in the moment. And through that place of abiding, they instinctively just knew what to do. And you can read the whole record of Acts. That's post-Easter and post-Pentecost. I mean, thing after thing after thing, from the appointing of Stephen to all the drama with Ananias and Sapphira to, you know, Paul coming in and walking among the disciples to their missionary trips and their missionary journeys. How did they know? Well, Acts 13 said, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work for which I have sent them. You see, just in the moment, abiding, had amazing encounters, but then just walked it out daily. God, what are you saying today? Easter was great, but we're a week after Easter. What to do? Where are you blowing? What are you saying? Where are you directing? The same God of Easter is the same God that leads us in the mundane day to day. Again, the whole book of Acts based on abiding. So then, therefore, Easter was not an end for them. It was merely a beginning. It wasn't cliche. Walk in him, abiding, which is listening, communing, walking with him, following what he says, what he does. The heavy lifting, though, is done. The heavy lifting, Jesus did. The heavy furniture. Aren't you glad when you're moving and you got some men that'll come over and help? It's like, thank God we got that sofa out of here. Now we can just get all these knickknacks out. The heavy lifting has been done. Now we just go ahead and just walk it out day to day. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? And you know what? Sometimes he may be saying, I'm not doing anything. Rest. It's like this one prophetic guy who walked into a meeting and said, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm not doing anything. Don't you try anything either. So at any rate, Jesus didn't do anything he didn't see the Father do or say anything he didn't hear the Father say. So it's just like, thank you, Lord, for the mountaintop. Thank you for the zenith, the pinnacle. Woo, it's great. But now what? Just wait and abide and listen and just walk in him. Even as you've received him, walk in him in grace and listen. And instinctively, we'll know what to do on Monday morning. Instinctively, we'll know what to do on Tuesday morning. We don't have to bring the hamburger helper to play in a wrong way. Just, I'm in you, you're in me, you're letting me know. And all through life, you have these points of these pinnacle moments. Don't you? There's a lot of these in life. And we don't live up there all the time. There's a lot we learn here. But in between the times, we just stay with him, and he stays with us. And he talks with us. Easter is great. But that's not the end of anything. It's merely the beginning. Selah. Let's just stand up together. We'll just stop with that. That's good. Heavy lifting is done. They went through a lot of drama. I mean, their emotional system could probably only take but so much. So thank God that they had 50 days to kind of catch their breath, you know, until the next power encounter, as it were, the ebb and flow of life. Lord, we thank you. Everything doesn't always have glitter and sparkles, but yet, Lord, you never leave. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there is a word in season that you give to those who love you, for the secret of the Lord is with those who fear you. And Lord, we just thank you for the times that are climatic, and Lord, even the times where it's just still, Lord, and there's just a rest. Lord, and there's just reprieve. But Lord, our lives are hidden in you. And Lord, you're in us. So Lord, we thank you for this moment of having encountered you in great, great rejoicing. But Lord, we thank you. It's unto the next thing. So just speak to us all here, oh God, what you have us do day to day. Lord, as we walk in you, as we walk with you, thank you for your leadership.